The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, everybody. Great to be back with you live from Nashville at the Gaylord Convention Center, right by Opryland here for the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority. And just President Trump just finished up his speech. He was a little delayed in starting. And then I was beginning to wonder if he was ever going to finish. And then I had to leave because I got a live radio show to do. So I left. I walked out of there about 20 minutes ago. And he just finished just a couple minutes ago. I think they're right near the end. And they hold everybody because there's so much security and all that kind of stuff going on. So just classic Donald Trump. And, you know, he's reading his speech from the teleprompter. But then he goes off the teleprompter, which is normal. And all over the map and talking about a lot of different things. And there's the stump speech. And, you know, it definitely at one point it was kind of funny towards the end of his when I was in there. He was like, I don't know, what do you guys, you guys want me to run for president again? And the place, of course, erupts, right? Really funny. But right before, a couple people before Trump was our Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who just lit the place up. It was crazy. The reaction of Mark Robinson is getting bigger and stronger all the time. And he's getting better, more contained in his speech because he spoke for about 12 minutes. And he did a great job and people were just flipping out. There's a lot of North Carolinians here as we're right next door to Tennessee from Faith and Freedom Coalition. So, but then Trump, of course, mentioned Mark in his speech, and it was just kind of funny to watch everybody losing their minds. And he's like a black Trump. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. Mark Robinson's a black. Is he still going? All right, jump on here. I'm gonna bring in my buddy Bob Touchton, who's with Human Coalition, also happens to be on my board. Which microphone are you going to? That one. So Trump is actually, you don't need those. Trump is actually still going.
That's my understanding.
When did he start? Do you remember when he started?
They said he started about 12.
It was running late.
He's 3 hours in right now.
I don't think he's going 3 hours. I bet it's 2 hours, though. I mean, pretty wild. What did you think of Mark Robinson's speech?
I thought Mark Robinson was outstanding as always. I mean, he's clearly gifted speaker and is passionate about our issues, particularly passionate about life. And nobody gives a better speech, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, and that was only about 12 minutes. And of all the people today, he wound the audience up the most, except for President Trump. But it was pretty amazing. And people just respond to him because I think calling him a black Trump is pretty effective. Because he's very bold. He's very out there. But he's very bold with his faith.
Lindsey Graham came in, of course, and cussed for the first time. So I think that warmed the crowd up a little bit.
Yeah, so Lindsey Graham, why do so many Republicans hate him? I thought his speech was refreshing because I appreciate his anger and his disgust are real. You know, they're heartfelt. There's some things about Lindsey Graham politically that I don't like, but mostly I do.
He became a bit of a hero for me when he defended Kavanaugh the way he did.
Yeah.
That took some courage. And he did it in an unfiltered, genuine South Carolina kind of way that I think resonated with people.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for the day when he's running the Judiciary Committee again. There will be...
There's going to be some heads rolling.
Yes, there will be.
Yeah. And then, of course, Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, he was great.
I thought he was fantastic.
He's always good. He's very self-controlled. He's good with scripture. So he drops scripture in an effective way. But he just gives a great impassioned speech but self-controlled. I thought Crenshaw, Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, you guys all know him because he's wears the eye patch. I thought he was flat.
He was very erudite.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, I would think he'd have a different gear, but he didn't. Content's good, but there just wasn't a fire there. I was kind of surprised by
that. This is what Robinson gets. I remember, this is a story from back in my political days in 1984. Senator Helms was walking into an event And one of the field guys asked him what he was going to talk about. And he said, well, boys, I think I'm going to throw a little hay where the goats can get on it. I'm going to throw a little hay on the ground where the goats can get at it. And that's what Mark Robinson understands.
Yeah.
He's going to throw a little red meat out there,
yeah.
And we're just going to kind of pack of wolves out there go gnaw on it.
Oh, my goodness. He's definitely at rock star status at this point. There's no
question
about it.
Who was the first one today? Who was the first speaker today?
Before
Tim Scott.
Marsha Blackburn went before him.
Thought she was really good.
She's sharp.
Yeah.
So it was Marsha Blackburn, then Tim Scott, and then Michael Waltz, who's a representative from Florida, and then Lindsey Graham went, and then Senator Rick Scott, who used to be the governor of Florida.
Yeah.
Then he went. Looks like Trump finally finished. People are filtering out now. And then some other folks, and Crenshaw was up there, and Betsy DeVos, which I thought that was mediocre. I want to go back for a second to Senator Rick Scott, who used to be the governor of Florida. His delivery was really lame, but the second half of his speech, his content, and because he was talking about a plan.
Yeah.
I don't know what plan he was talking about. I don't know if that's a Senate plan.
He's chairman of the Republican National Senatorial Committee.
Okay.
I think that's his job. So his job is to get Republican Senate candidates elected.
Got it.
And so I think he, everybody's trying to replicate, you know, the Contract for America.
Right.
Or the Contract with America, whatever it was called. So I think that's probably what
he's trying
about.
To do. Yeah, so that you can coalesce around something. And then, of course, Trump. The funniest moment, you brought this up earlier with Trump, because he's in a room. This is the Faith and Freedom Coalition. I mean, this is like rock solid red evangelical conservative Republican voters. And you can't see Bob because we're not doing Facebook Live today, but you're laughing. I was laughing when it happened. What did he say? What do you remember?
He said something like,
"We need an elevator."
I think a lot of people in this room like God.
Like God. Right. I was like,
I thought he was going to quote from 2 Corinthians. At
right.
That point.
A lot of people in this room really like God. And I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah. I never really thought, you know, that kind of puts, do I like God? Hey, you know, I like 75 degree weather. I like Twizzlers.
I like going to the beach.
I like going to the beach. I like going to the mountains. I like getting upgraded on Delta Airlines. And I like God. I'm going to try to calm myself down. I don't know exactly what to do with that.
That's going
to
be his bumper sticker for his re-elector.
I think you folks kind of like God. Yeah, I kind of like God. Yeah, but it's classic Trump. I mean, he's just not at that level when it comes to things of the faith. We're hoping to talk to a couple of the guys, leadership from Faith and Freedom Coalition, Timothy Head, who's the executive director of the national organization, and Jason Williams, our own. Hi. Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Noble, live from Nashville, getting accosted by two of my sisters in Christ who... Then I almost missed my cue and just totally messed it up. We're going to take, you want to take a picture now? All right, come on. We'll do it. It's just live radio. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. Let's just all, it's everybody run around. I'm just doing radio, stalling while I'm taking a picture. Hello, here we are. Hello, hi. My sister's from another mother. It's great seeing you. Thanks for saying hi. These upper room people, you can never run away from them. You can't get away from them. The Steve Noble, this is live from Nashville. And so that's Bishop Wooden, my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Wooden, is, and his son-in-law, Jonathan, John Amanchukwu, who's been on the show before and is now, God's just using him in an awesome way. He's doing stuff with Charlie Kirk and Turning Point. And because you just don't have that many strong African-American pro-life conservative leaders out there. And so God's really lifting him up, which we're excited about. And that's super cool. So that's going on. But again, today, people are finally filtering out. I'm out here in the main hallway on Radio Row and people coming out from Trump. He probably went, I'm guessing Trump probably went probably an hour and 40 minutes or something like that. And nothing new there. You know, it's classic Trump. You know what you're going to get. But it was kind of funny towards the end, right before I left, and I got out of there about 30 minutes ago, and he just left. I mean, they just left people out maybe 7 minutes ago, but when he talked about the next election. He goes, I don't know, whoever the next Republican president is, and kind of people are starting laughing. And he goes, well, what do you think? What do you think? You think it should be me? And then the place, of course, erupts. So it's a very interesting situation. He won't announce before the November election, I wouldn't think. But right on the heels of that, if he's going to run, he's going to have to announce then, because then he's going to have to scare away as many Republican potential challengers as he can. And once he comes out, I mean, everybody's going to think back to the 2015, 2016 primary. And who wants to go up against that, right? I mean, literally, who would want to go up against Donald Trump in another primary? Former president, he's got tons of money. I'm not talking about his own personal wealth. I mean, I'm talking about his political action committee and all his other things. They're raising money right and left. And so it's just a juggernaut. And so the question becomes, who runs against him? Is what's going to be the deal with Biden? What's going to be the deal with Kamala Harris? Is Biden even going to be capable of running at that time? You know, it's just crazy. I mean, all bets are off. This is the most unusual situation coming up in a presidential campaign that I've seen in my adult life. So that's been kind of bizarre. And we'll just keep watching it. We'll just see what happens. What's up, bro? Paul, you jumping on? I'm live right now. You want to jump on? You don't need the headphones. Just talk to me. Don't worry about it. We're talking to Paul. Paul Brentley, who's with Faith and Freedom Coalition in North Carolina. It's good to see you, bro.
Yes, sir. It's great to see you, too.
This is my official attempt at trying to not be such a jerk for not returning your phone call.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. You're such a busy man. I understand.
We're all busy, bro. That's not an excuse for anybody anymore.
Yeah,
I'm so busy.
Yeah, but you told me send you a voicemail or give you an email.
Just dog me. That. Well, see, yeah. And then you came right up to me today or last night, and you're like, hey, man, what's up? Thanks for returning my call. That's what I need.
Right. Okay, I'll keep you accountable.
Hey, call Mrs. Noble and ask her.
Okay.
And she'll tell you.
Did she return your call?
Yeah. I return her calls.
You return hers.
She doesn't have to return mine. Anyway,
okay.
It's great to see you. So
good to see you as
give
well.
Us your background a little bit and how you ended up being with Faith and Freedom
yes,
Coalition.
Yes, sir. So I'm a pastor. And one day, Jason and Williams and I were chatting about the things that are happening in this great country. And I had written a book. And after I had written that book, I was telling Jason about it. And Jason Williams, who is the CEO and the founder of the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition, he was like, Paul, we need a chat. And so we met at Longhorns and talked about both of our visions of what we wanted to do. And I never knew a whole lot about the Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Yeah.
All I knew was that I was a big Christian guy and I believe in conservative values and our community needed to know it. And so Jason was like, let's partner together and you express that to the community, instruct them, educate them on what we do and get the Christians out to vote. So that's my role with the Faith and Freedom Coalition is to get the Christian to vote their values.
Now, when you think about the community, you think about the church, you think about evangelicals across North Carolina. For you as an African-American, do you kind of look at the state and go, okay, conservative values, pro-life values? I think most African-Americans live conservative lives.
Absolutely, they do. All of them do.
But they don't vote conservatively.
That's
so
true.
So is that like a natural position for somebody like you that, okay, I'm going to go talk to my demographic mm-hmm. because obviously they're voting 92-93%
right.
Democrat. As well as talking to the greater population. But is that like a burden that you carry? Like Bishop Wooden,
right.
who I'm sure you know. We've talked about that for years. And,
I do.
And he really feels compelled to challenge within his own context.
It is.
But what's that like for you?
Yeah, so for me, it's both. So not only is it the African-American community that concerns me, that gives me a burden, but just Christians in general that don't vote their values. I mean, I know some very strong Christian white people that don't vote their values.
Oh, man.
And so it does hurt me, and it is a burden for me. I took it upon myself like Nehemiah that had a burden to rebuild the wall. And I pray over it. I fast over it. I'm constantly talking to people about it to get better educated on why people don't vote their values.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it definitely is a burden.
What have you learned just in terms of now you're traveling around the state, you guys are doing a lot of things with Faith and Freedom. What are you discovering about the people in North Carolina?
Well, the people in North Carolina are generally conservatives. We have our large metropolitan areas like the Charlotte, the Raleighs, the Triangle area that lean more Democratic and liberal. but all the rural areas where I am mostly, they're very conservative people, but they just, for some reason, still don't vote their values. So I see the landscape, but I see it changing. We're at a point now where the momentum is changing.
Yeah.
Some people call it a red wave. I call it a red tsunami. It's just the conservatives are like, hey, I got to talk to my neighbor about this and see if they want to vote their values.
And I think there's more and more people, even in the middle and on the left, that especially because inflation affects everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, blue, red, rich, poor, whatever. But especially people in the middle and moderate incomes, inflation. And I think the madness that we're seeing in our schools – in terms of the indoctrination and sexualization of children and drag queen story hour and all that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot of people that the Democrat Party is leaving them behind.
They're
just kind of, quote unquote, normal, conservative, middle of the road Americans who, like we said, most Americans live conservatively because we can't print money.
Right.
And we have decent values.
Yes.
They don't even necessarily have to flow out of a biblical worldview like they do for I, but you and me. But I think most people are just kind of normal, and they see these extremes, and the Democrat Party's just leaving them behind. And then at that point, what choice do they have?
Right. They don't have much choice at all. And that is something that's happening. You call it, we can say they're woke, but there's something waking them up. They're looking at the gas pump. They're looking at these drag queens and all these things, and it's really bothering them. And they're like, even though I'm a Democrat, or I'm a liberal, I'm not going to go for that.
Right.
That's not something that I'm for.
Yeah.
And they want to see the economy change. They want to see a better housing environment. So, yes, everybody's waking up
now. And we need to be willing to talk to all of them and engage all of them.
Yes, sir.
Paul, great seeing you, man. Thanks for being here. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, live from Nashville. I'll be right back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from Nashville at the Gaylord Convention Center, right by Opperland, and here, of course, for the Faith and Freedom Coalition, Road to Majority. That majority would be a Republican majority coming up this November, and then off to the races come January. So let's just, a little reminder for everybody, it's great to win, and we will win, but in January, don't go back to your myopic little lives. You have to stay engaged. And you have to pay attention, and you have to speak truth to power. It doesn't matter whether the power's got an R or a D next to it. You have to speak truth to power, and then you got to hold people accountable. So when all these campaign promises are made and everything that they're telling you that you want to hear, come mid-January, February, March, April, May, every day that they're in office, you bring that like a mirror, and you hold it over them, and you hold them accountable. And that's better for them, and it's better for us. But activism is a big part of what Faith and Freedom Coalition is all about. And so Jason Williams is here with us now, who's the executive director for Faith and Freedom Coalition in North Carolina. And then back to the show is Representative Jake Johnson. North Carolina House of Representatives, and Jake, you were on the show when we were talking about all the churches being shut down and all that mess with Cooper. But we'll get to you in just a second, Jake. But tell us a little bit, just give us a little 101 on Faith and Freedom Coalition and how people can get involved.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. I actually want to kind of take something you just said. When you talked about Road to Majority and you talked about being a Republican majority, well, I mean, I guess it's yes and no, because the sad thing is when it comes to issues like life and religious liberty and being a pro-family party and looking for those issues, it's actually sad that there's only one party that's trying to go after those votes.
Right.
So it's not that you're trying to be an arm of the Republican Party. That's not by any means what I believe we should do as conservatives, certainly not as Christians and as the church. However, you've only got one party.
That's right.
That's the least bit interested in trying to promote our values. I would love to get to a day where we're talking about issues like maybe some tax policy, health care, national debt, immigration specifically. And we didn't have to talk about religious liberty all the time and pro-life and all that.
But foundational issues would not be an issue.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, we're in a position where only one party has seemed to show an interest in talking about those issues and promoting and advancing those issues. So anyway, I don't want to digress on that.
No, it's fine.
But that's the majority. And truthfully, Road to Majority for conservatives, it's never been more appropriate, certainly for us in North Carolina, as a theme than it is this year. because we know if the Supreme Court does what we think they're going to do, really nothing is going to change in North Carolina. As soon as that happens, nothing really changes.
Right.
And what we've got to have is a veto-proof majority of pro-life legislators. I think many of you would be like me. If they happen to be Democrat legislators, so be it. We'd be thrilled to have it. But we want to have pro-life legislators who will support life, specifically the unborn lives that have been under assault for going on 50 years. So knowing that, we've got to get a majority of pro-life legislators in North Carolina. So with that, if you want conservative policies, if you want to protect life, you have to elect people that share that view. And I think that's why we're honored to have somebody here like Representative Jake Johnson, who has been to a number of these conferences.
I think
in D.C. you've been to one, and Atlanta, Orlando. Actually, have you missed the conference that I can think of?
I don't think I have, and I don't plan on it anytime soon.
Did they card you to get in here?
No.
You are so young.
I just had to vouch for them.
Listen, they did just when I was registering. Yeah, that's right. No, I like that, though, because we think voter ID is common sense. They want to know who we are coming in. I'm okay with that.
Well, that's and you say, and it's a veto-proof majority, because for the next 2 years, you can have this great majority pro-life people like Jake.
Right.
Sure. In the House and in the Senate,
right?
But you've got this guy named Cooper who's in the way, and you have this other thing called the North Carolina State Supreme Court. So we actually need to flip 3 seats in the House,
correct?
2 seats in the Senate, and 1 on the Supreme Court in order to get to the point where Cooper is neutered,
yep.
Sure.
And he can't stop us. Where we can, so they turn over Roe versus Wade, God willing, and the North Carolina legislature can jump in, and we can become one of the most pro-life states in America, except.
Right.
Cooper, because he'll veto it. We know that. He won't even sign a bill to protect a child that survives an abortion. And I've had several of those kids that have grown up that have been on this show. He won't sign a bill to protect them. He's not going to sign that. So we have to neuter him, literally. And that's why this is so important in November.
Well, and Steve, the kind of tour I'm going on is we don't have to guess anymore what the Cooper agenda is.
Right.
You know, when he first came into office, it was almost this guessing game. He kind of said he was going to be more moderate on these things. You know, and it was almost a guessing game. We don't have to guess. We have years now of this governor, us putting common sense bills before him. Something as simple as if a child is born alive, that we keep it alive. That a doctor has the same responsibilities that they would for any other person on that operating table. And he vetoed that. So we don't have to guess anymore.
That's right.
Now we have to start thinking a little bit politically going forward and what makes sense to get that supermajority back. I'm in a situation, we had a primary, we're past that now. Do I kick my feet back up and say, you know, we won our race, we're good to go? Absolutely not. We're going to be out knocking doors, we're going to be out raising money, we're going to be out talking to our neighbors, working with great groups that are promoting the same biblical values that we have, and getting that 72 votes that we need. Because the last thing I want, after my 3 years of being at the General Assembly as a county commissioner before that, but after 3 years of being in Raleigh, I do not want to go back to my constituents in 2023 who believe like I do and say, you know what, you know, we need this many more votes. I can't do anything. We need this many more votes. The only way we can fix that is going out, working hard, and getting people elected.
Right.
And, you know, just as far as approaching your legislator, I always think it's, I love these issues and I'm passionate about it, these issues, just like people in my district. I want you to talk to me about these things. I want to talk to people about these. So many people call me and they say, "Oh my gosh, you answered the phone. You know, is that really you responding to an email?"
Yeah.
I mean, I say, "Yes, I truly want to hear from you." And they said, "We don't want to bother you." People said, "We don't want to bother you. You know, we know you hear this. I want to hear it again," because every time I hear that back in the district, it gives me that much more fight to go back to
that's
Raleigh.
That's encouragement.
And listen, the Raleigh media, a lot of the groups that are up there are not going to pat you on the back for running these pro-life bills and supporting the things we support. So when somebody back in the district calls and says, "Jake, we're with you, we're fighting for you, we're praying for you," that means the world to us going forward. And having groups that come out and have events like this just inspires us to go back to Raleigh and say, okay, there are people out there that think just like we do, believe just like we do, and are going to have our backs when we vote that way.
So it sounds like, Jason, that Jake is telling us that encouragement matters to our elected officials. The ones that are already in, the ones that we like, that we need to call them and encourage them, email them, Because encouragement, the very word itself, is to lend courage. Because it's not easy to play in that game.
Yeah. Good word.
And they need that for us. But give me the pull the curtain back a little bit. Let's go find the Wizard of Oz. And when it comes to opposition, what works? I can email you really nasty stuff. Yeah. I can call you and say really nasty stuff.
Yeah.
I can mail you. I can handwrite a letter. What actually works? Like, what gets a legislator's attention when we're going to oppose you? When will you stop and listen?
So when I'm opposing someone,
we'll
back into this question. When I'm opposing someone, I like sitting down with them and saying, "Let's start with the things we agree on, okay? And let's back it out until we find what we don't agree on."
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start with the things we do agree on. So let's just say we're talking about the abortion debate. Do we agree that me and you and sitting here, or a baby getting pushed down here in a stroller, has a right to live? Do we agree that? And, you know, I find that 90%, you know, the vast majority of both sides of the aisle agree with that. There's a radical left that will not agree with that. The vast majority agree with that. Okay. Do we agree that when, and this is always what I say, and this is just my, I said, do we agree, how do you tell if someone's passed away? How do you tell if someone's died or not? Well, you check their pulse. I said, then how are we not using that same standard on the front?
Yeah, that's good.
How are you saying that like someone has a heartbeat on the front end?
Right.
Doesn't apply, but so you do measure their death on the back end by not having a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes them sit back and think for a second. So if we can use kind of – call out the double standard. That's the one thing to answer your question.
Yep.
Call out the double standards that are there, but you start by finding those double standards. What do we agree on? What's back in to what we don't agree on?
Well, I'll generally find out what their worldview is and how they are thinking through things, which is what you're doing, and you're walking them down a road. And then if you extrapolate out, then it falls apart. And then they're going – because you asked that question.
That's right.
When somebody says they're dead, how do you know they're dead?
That's right.
Well, you check for a pulse.
There's
no pulse. Okay, so no pulse means they're dead. Are we right? Okay, so if they have a pulse, by the way, like 5 minutes later, Jason's dead.
Yep.
This is terrible. What a bad day. But 5 minutes later, all of a sudden, Jason has a pulse.
There you go.
Is that a miracle? Yes. What'd you say about Jason now? He's alive. Okay, so if you have a pulse, you're alive. But if you don't have a pulse, you're dead.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, now let me just...
But even to the point of, you could also make the case that if you feel pain...
Yeah, right.
Senator Kravitz proposed a bill in North Carolina just a couple of years ago, the fetal pain bill.
Great
You would think if there's ever a bill that you could pass...
Yes, that...
...is one to where you can say you are inflicting harm on a defenseless, unborn child...
That's right.
...that can't protect itself against what's about to happen to it. And can feel the pain.
It's logical. Hold that thought right there. We're talking.
Is this the last segment? How far is it going?
Right up to 4 o'clock. That's my favorite thing about live radio when I've got guests on and we're actually in a segment and you don't know it because I didn't give you headphones. And so you're just saying whatever. And some people are just walking into, what time are we done? That sounds great. When can I get out of here, Steve? When's your stupid show over so that I can leave? I was just hanging out with President Trump. Now I'm hanging out with you doing my time. So you only have 11 minutes left, Jason, and then you can go back to people.
I always say, anytime I'm doing a speech, I said, I was friends with
you
Jason.
You got to use the mic when you're on radio.
I was like, I was friends with Jason Williams before he was big and famous.
I was
friends with him. Back when it was cool.
I wouldn't call
it
friends. Hey, power to the little people, Jake. That's
right.
That's you and me, baby.
Friends.
No, I was acquaintances. There you go. Okay. I was friendly as acquaintances.
I asked because I want to make sure I don't take all of Jake's time. Like, I could talk for 12 minutes without giving him anything.
No.
I'm pretty sure it's your organization that put this together and is paying for it.
I'm about to do that,
not Jake.
I'm
gonna
watch this.
I'm going to filibuster your time.
No.
Do we have a filibuster in the North Carolina legislature?
I'm your time on this show.
That's excellent. Okay, Jason, let's back up a little bit, and then I'll let you. If you actually give me a good answer, I'll let you leave.
So probably to talk.
Give us the Faith and Freedom Coalition 101 introduction for all of our friends across North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia and Utah that don't know what it is. So introduce Faith and Freedom Coalition to everybody.
Yeah, well, so the Faith and Freedom Coalition is an organization that specializes in voter education. Equipping and educating, inspiring those people of faith across the country to be more involved in our culture, specifically in our political arena, and there's different ways to do that. And and what Ralph Reed, who founded the organization back in 2009, what he knew, even going back to the days of the Christian Coalition, is it's not just a national plan. There's not a national way to do that.
Right.
North Carolina looks very different than Oregon. Mm-hmm. South Carolina looks very different than Massachusetts. Pennsylvania looks different than Virginia. And so he is big on making sure that state organizations are formed, they're well-funded, and that we're out there making a difference in our states specifically. And, as we talked about with Representative Johnson, in-state legislatures. Because one of the things that we know, we see the national political climate in a certain way, but truthfully, state legislatures across the countries, that's the last line of defense yeah. against any federal tyranny that we've
right.
got. And so we've got to make sure that we hold the line there. And so one of the ways that we do that, and I can speak specifically for North Carolina, I could tell you everything we're doing nationally, but I want to focus on us. In North Carolina this year, knowing what's at stake in 2022, we are going to embark in the largest faith-based get-out-the-vote effort in the history of North Carolina.
Awesome.
What we're going to do is we have a voter database of 1.8 million identified evangelical voters across the state. And what we plan to do is reach those people through a myriad of different ways. We're going to knock on nearly 450,000 doors. Now, that's not voters, that's doors, which means many of those doors we knock on are going to have two voters per
right,
household,
right,
yep. three or whatever. We're going to physically knock on 450,000 doors. We're going to send mail. Our voter guides are nonpartisan voter guides. We're going to send those voter guides to over 2 million people so that they'll have that. We're going to send out text messages when early voting starts with a link in there to let everybody know early voting has started. Click here to know where you can go vote
yeah,
early.
You got to make it easy.
Yeah. And then we'll send one a week later that says early voting is still going on. Click here to see our voter guide and just keep touching those people until we get them out to vote. As
right.
soon as they vote, we take them out of the system. We're going to have our voter guides. Our voter guides, again, they're nonpartisan. They don't tell you who to vote for. They just say these are the issues and these are where those candidates stand on those issues. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be this year in over 2,200 churches
Excellent.
Across North Carolina. And so any of your listeners, if they're interested in getting our voter guides, if they don't get them, we would love to ship them directly to your church.
Excellent.
And they can go to our website, www.ncfaithandfreedom.com. Easy to find. Reach out to us, and we'll get our voter guides to you as soon as we get those done. So we're going to send them mail. We're going to do digital. We're going to do emails. We're going to put them in churches, text messages, and then we're going to do live calls. We have phone banks. We want to touch those people anywhere between 7 and 12 times to make sure if they don't vote,
yeah.
it's because they are actively
right.
refusing
right.
to go vote.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. But you are missing one part of the plan.
Okay.
Is that you're putting in concrete right now on live radio that you're going to come do my show at least once a month.
Yeah.
The whole show.
Yeah.
Was that a part of the plan we just said?
Absolutely. I will commit to helping you on half the show. So you can do half. I'll do
half.
So
you don't have to carry it all.
And honestly, we travel so much, you could probably like tune us in on Bluetooth
yeah.
or something, and we could do just all day every day. We could just give you all the material you ever want.
But that's the thing. You can't take any vote for granted. If
100%.
I'm standing in the best evangelical church in North Carolina, I know I've still got a bunch of people in there
sure.
that are not voting, that have a bad theology about engaging politics. I also know I've got 30 to 40% of the women in the room that are post-abortive.
Nope.
Just because you're standing in a church doesn't mean it's all crystal clear and everything's
Absolutely.
Fine. And so we have to lovingly but firmly challenge our own people. We have to.
100%. And I look forward to being on your show regularly. And I appreciate your ministry. And I do think it's a ministry. I believe what
it
you
is.
Do.
Thank you.
The way that you engage with people. Your social media, I find it to be challenging. A lot of the theological questions, I really appreciate it.
Mm.
I mean, it really challenges
Thanks,
traditional thinking
yeah.
of those of us that you kind of get in a rut.
Yeah.
And it's forcing you to talk about why do we believe these
yeah.
things.
Right. Yep.
And so as long as you commit to me, you're not going to ask me any of those tough questions. I get the easy ones.
That sounds so boring to me. My spiritual gift is discomfort. So,
and you're so good at it.
Yes, thank you. Well, we all have to be kept on our toes. And,
exactly.
And, you know, it's right here on my phone. You see that? No sacred cows.
There you go.
We just don't. There's no sacred cows. But
no better motto.
But we also have to be intellectually more vigorous than we have been. Right. And if you and because we spend all of our time, if all you do is go to Faith and Freedom Coalition conferences all the time, and you're not engaging people outside of our little chamber, you're not going to be effective at communicating. You're not going to convince anybody because you can't have an in-depth conversation to actually unpack why you believe what you say you believe.
I think one of the most interesting things that happened this year is when it came out that our lieutenant governor and his wife admitted and discussed, openly discussed, the fact that years ago, before they were married, that they had an abortion.
Yeah.
And it allowed us as Christians to show that we're not hypocritical.
No.
But it also showed us, or allowed us, the opportunity to show and give a clear presentation of the gospel.
Right, that's right.
To people that, look, the people that have had abortions you're referring to, we don't hate those people.
Nope.
We don't think that they're not worthy of forgiveness. I mean, let's be honest. We're all guilty of those things.
That's right.
And I think Franklin Graham also used it as an opportunity to witness to other people. And I think for people like myself, when they came and said, oh, you're just another hypocrite, look, we've all made mistakes.
All right,
and the blood of Christ is what redeems us from that. And the fact that our lieutenant governor had that conversation publicly.
That's right.
And it was raw.
That's
if you
so
watch
important.
This video, it was raw and it was real.
And that's where that's a great opportunity for us, because we know what people on the left and people outside the faith, we know what they assume to be true about us. And unfortunately, I would say more often than not, we fit the bill.
Yeah.
Condescending, judgmental, blah, 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 blah. So on that vein, and I've talked about this on the air, about 2 years ago, the Noble family pro-life chickens came home to roost because our 20-year-old son told us that he was pregnant.
Wow.
With his girlfriend, right? Yeah. Now, they're not together now, and we're dealing with all of that. And so you have in the moment, listen, I mean, that's what I said. Our pro-life chickens came home to roost. And I've been very involved in the pro-life movement for years. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you've got, okay, there's one side of this that's clearly sinful, and the other side of this, wow, I'm a grandfather.
Wow
that's a life. Wow, and that's Paxton. He just turned one on May 28th. And then when I had their permission and I shared it on the air, And on Facebook, both my wife and I, people were so appreciative that we're willing to be honest and raw.
Yes.
And to remind everybody, hello, I'm not going to heaven because I'm better than people.
Absolutely.
I'm going to heaven because I'm forgiven.
100%. Yeah.
Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Now, if you're forgiven, you should be good. But people just don't understand it. And that gives us an opportunity like it did with Martin.
And man, that's another great illustration as well, because I've got six kids. And none of these things are beneath them. And,
no.
And let's be honest. I mean, you talk about your kids. I'm not above any of this stuff.
No.
It could happen to any of us.
That's right.
The Bible tells us to take heed lest we fall.
No, man.
And so I think there's one thing that if we do fall, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And you call it out.
Sure.
Whether it's my kids, your kids, Lieutenant Governor, or me or you.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that the Lord will not forgive us.
No, that's right.
And so I think those are ministry opportunities that exist in the political arena that maybe don't exist in other places.
That's right.
So as Christians, we've always got to be seeking those out.
Jake, how do we encourage and pray for Christian representatives like you?
So, you know, reaching out to them directly, we always appreciate that. And frankly, we've got tough bills coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk to people up in Raleigh, and you can see – That, you know, when people are wrestling with things. I mean, you can see when they're wrestling with things, and you never know which point of contact is gonna make that difference. Mm. But I like when people reach out to me and explain how this bill would affect them personally.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if they've got a personal story to go along with it. I enjoy hearing from those, because every bill we vote on, I don't take it for granted when I hit the yes or no button.
Yeah.
I try to think, you know, how is this going to affect somebody in real life?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And you know, so reach out. Tell us your personal story.
Yeah.
Tell us how it affects you. And we're going to do our best to see it from everybody's point of view.
And that helps us to humanize the political process.
Absolutely.
It's such an important
point. It's not a piece of paper.
It's
somebody's life.
Really well said. Representative Jake Johnson, thanks for jumping in today.
Absolutely.
It's great to see you again. And, of course, Jason Williams with North Carolina Faith and Freedom.com, NCFaithandFreedom.com. Thanks, pal. Get ready. Get ready.
I am ready.
You're getting put in the Steve Noble oven at least once a month.
I think I'm ready. I'll revise that.
We're going to find out. Thanks.
What fun doing
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate you guys. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.